If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Craig Lawson is a friend of a friend, friend of Dave Schrader, who's been on the show often, the host of the show The Holzer Files and then The Ghosts of Devil's Perch, which we had Dave on talking about a couple of times. Greg has a long history investigating and exploring and researching things which people consider to be paranormal. And he discusses these topics when he goes out on the lecture circuit. Glad he gave us some time tonight. Greg, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, come on. We're the ones who are lucky. You're just kind of the perfect guy for this gig, because I think that not just with your background in your investigations with Roswell, but you've done other things. You've had other books where you've... You know, like the I saw on your website, the Haunted Hill House was like totally cool. I love that. And that you can lecture on all sorts of various topics. So we may run the gamut with you, but let's start here. Okay. So you've been following the story of the balloons, these different shaped balloons. Some were cigar shaped. Some were this shape. Some were big. Some were small. Yeah. What were you hearing in that? In all of those different admissions or repivots by the Pentagon over the last couple of weeks?
Well, it's funny, because if you look back in the last couple of years, they've changed some laws and they put some stuff in the National Defense Authorization Act that opens up some of these investigations and makes it very much more transparent. Before, you know, if a Navy flyer saw something, he would think, do I really want to report this? Because they're going to make fun of me.
Right.
And when he would, that information stayed within the Department of the Navy. It was not shared, in the National Defense. So now the laws have changed, and they have to play well with others. And everybody is sharing this information. Also, you know, they've opened it up to where it's our responsibility as the government to look at this and to share annually our report on UAP. So you have all these government agencies that are now sharing this information, working together, and they're compelled to do it, which makes it fairly interesting there.
Yeah, that's a very interesting observation to start with, because as I mentioned last night, there's a Hulu series out, which is a primer on the history of this subject in this country and how it developed. And there was a concerted effort made by the government, an actual symposia that they had across the country of different thought leaders to make sure that everybody got in line with the notion that people would be stigmatized if they spoke up. And therefore, anybody in the military, officers, pilots, they didn't want that permanently in their jacket. Up until that point, sometime in the, I think it was the 1950s, up until that point, people were talking openly about it. Then that shut down, and basically the rule came out that said, let's label them all kooks, and that will stop everything. And then it's taken a long time for that frost to thaw. So now the emphasis is not prove you're not a kook. It's the emphasis is for the government to prove that what people are reporting isn't true.
Right. Yeah. And it's when you're talking about aerial phenomena, you're talking about a whole bunch of stuff. When I was a kid, 1970, North Austin, Texas, every day I saw a flying disc every day, because we lived very close to Bergstrom Air Force Base, which was the SAC command at the time. And so they were launching weather balloons multiple times a day. And once they got very, very high, those balloons that look like an upside down teardrop to us on the, right, on the ground get very big, right? They get very, very wide.
Sure.
And so you see, and boy, around 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, depending on what time of the year, you get those long sun rays as they're coming up, and they reflect off of that balloon material, and it looks like a giant, shiny silver disc up there, right?
Right.
So we had a lot of those. I remember that crystal clear when I was a kid. So you have things such, benign as that, to these other objects that apparently, maneuver very well and are hard to spot. But,
well, freeze that moment, because, again, there seemed to be a time when this country, the military, needed to send up a lot more weather balloons. I'm not saying that they don't do it on occasion. I'm not saying, but it's not, I mean, the technology has progressed since then. The climatology and meteorology and all that has progressed to a point where we don't need to send up a balloon. I mean, that's pretty primal in a way when you think about it, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I
guess it would be more along the lines of now as far as real tests, because, I mean, using models and satellites, you can't actually get, the real air. You can't test the real air. So you still need, air pressure and those types of things that the satellite's not going to give you.
Hi, I'm Johnny B. Good, host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, which dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech, and explores how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed. Ray Trapani, a 26-year-old dropout who was a recovering addict with no tech experience, founded one of the hottest startups in 2017. Ray's company was endorsed by major credit card companies, celebs like DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather, and appointed a Harvard-educated CEO. It was going to be the next big thing, until it wasn't, because the entire company was one big lie. I'm excited to let you know that all episodes of Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, are available and 100% ad-free exclusively with the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, so you can binge the entire season. So don't wait. Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
True, but they also have, we have a lot of different planes. They have the AWACS. We have a lot of other, we have other things that we can also do other than weather balloons, at least if the Pentagon's sure. to be believed. And they said, and I believe them when they say, we don't really fly balloons over other countries. So that, let's just go with the balloon theory for a sec, that all of this is just balloons. So sure. Like, makes me wonder, what is it then that China doesn't have that we have, that a weather balloon or a balloon of some sort, whether it's for weather or not, I don't know. But if whatever a balloon is that they feel like they have to float it over the jet stream over the United States and Canada, what is it that they could, that they're gathering with those balloons that they couldn't gather using other data? Because our country says our satellites are so good, balloons are kind of, we just wouldn't bother.
Right.
So where are you with that?
Well, it depends on how you look at it and depends on the technology we're talking about. Right. If you remember a few years ago, we were watching North Korea pretty close, and right. all of a sudden they're burning everything, and there's nothing right. but smoke over there.
Right, right, right.
They were moving surface-to-air missiles from one launch area to another. So the best way to do that is to create smoke, because it's really hard for us to see through smoke. And so that sort of archaic
right.
warfare kind of stuff was going on.
Seemingly, but, yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing, is we're assuming that this balloon was gathering data of some sort, possibly espionage kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, what if it wasn't? What if it was doing something else? And that was one of the things that kind of perturbed me a little bit, is we can fabricate things pretty quick, and we can control things in a lot of different ways. And to bring a balloon down with a very high dollar missile was just
right.
I'm just sitting at home.
$400,000 missile to knock down a balloon.
What are we doing? Who is in charge of this?
Right.
If I had the authority and I had the responsibility to for somebody to say, hey, I need you to go get that balloon, that's not how I'm going to do it.
No.
And I want to protect the payload of that balloon and keep it pristine so I can get people that's a lot smarter than me to take a look at it and figure out what it's doing. But instead, they shoot a missile at it over the ocean, and it's going to drop into salt water. Whatever electronics is on it is done.
Instantly then, done, yeah.
Yeah, and then how are you going to find it, and how are you going to recover it? I don't know how they're doing with that part of this.
No, I think it was all theater, I think, at some point. And it became, you know, it obviously became very politicized. Like, we don't have the guts to shoot down a balloon, and then after we shot down the balloon, they go, oh, what a stupid waste of money to shoot down a balloon. It's like, make up your mind. You know, I mean, like, what do you want? The government's going to do whatever it thinks the people think will make them look good. They're not necessarily going to think it through. And you're a guy who knows a little bit about this because, I mean, you served about a decade in the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. Were those in successive events, or were you at the same time in all three of those?
So out of high school, Army, then I became a cop when I got out of the Army, and I was doing that for a little while, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go do the Navy. A buddy of mine called me up and said, hey, let's go do the Navy. So we went and did the Navy. I got out and went, I'm going to be a cop again. And then I was there for a couple of years, and the Bosnia thing came up, and I was like, I'm going to go do the Air Force. And so
What were your jobs in each of those stints?
So when I was in the Army, I was an infantry parachutist. I was a paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne Division. I was in Alaska and the Middle East and North Africa, and I had a really good tour with them.
Good.
Traveled around a lot.
And then the Navy.
And then the Navy. I was an operations specialist, and that's one of the things that makes me more interested in these UAPs, UFOs, and that sort of thing, because as an operations specialist, it's one of the very few jobs in the Navy that you're not a technician. You don't fix anything. Most jobs in the Navy, you fix something. Operations specialists don't fix anything. We use a whole bunch of electronic means to gather information. We analyze that information and disseminate it to the people that have a need to know for the information. And so that was one of the things, you know, I worked air detection and tracking in one of the modules on Nimitz, air detection and tracking. This was way before the UAP incident. I'm using air quotes here on Nimitz.
Right.
But the equipment that we use there, I think people have a very basic and rudimentary idea of how those things work.
Right.
But let's say the electronic countermeasures and electronic countermeasures and the radars and things that we use RF energy for to do things without having to touch things, those are frequencies, and those frequencies can be adjusted. So for me, and for anybody that's working air detection and tracking, as we're going someplace and doing something, we're looking for objects that are of interest to us. In other words, a hazard in navigation or a direct threat, right?
Yeah.
And when you run into flocks of birds, you adjust your frequency. You tune your radar, right? So that they'll go away on your radar screen so you don't see them and you don't get distracted by them. Well, the same thing would happen with a non-rigid inflatable balloon type object. You could pick that up. If the payload was big enough, like this particular payload on this Chinese balloon was apparently a couple of school bus sizes. I mean, that's a lot of equipment. I can't imagine how big this thing was, but apparently it was pretty large.
Right.
And, you know, something like that, you wouldn't necessarily tune it out. You would automatically see that. Some of these others that they've been talking about, the smaller ones, you would probably, if you couldn't get a signature off of that flying object, whatever it is. In other words, you're looking for it. And is it in a commercial air corridor? Is it moving at a certain speed, at a certain altitude? Is it squawking some sort of radar also, or any other RF energy for transmitting, whatever it might be? You can identify that as a commercial aircraft or military aircraft. But if something's moving very slow and it doesn't seem to be doing anything, a lot of times you won't even assign a tracking number to it, just because, you know, it could be some sort of weather anomaly, it could
right.
be a squall, it could be, you know, so
right
when it doesn't seem to be a threat to you, you just don't pay that much attention to it. So
well,
it's interesting, after this after these new laws came in and they basically tapped on everybody's, you know, all the military's foreheads and said, hey, boys, start paying attention to this stuff. Start logging this stuff. So everybody's tuning their radars different. It's like, oh, man, these things are popping up everywhere.
Right.
So,
Well, and then, so the Air Force, just to round it out, I mean, which one was your favorite branch that you served in?
So I was indoctrinated in the United States Army, and that's the way I feel. That's who
tattooed on your soul is yeah, what it yeah. still is. Right.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I was actually a combat arms training and maintenance instructor for the Air Force. So I was a range master. I did all the small arms stuff up to a Mark 19 and like 81 millimeter mortars and stuff like that.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hi, I'm Johnny B. Good, host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, which dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, Centratech, and explores how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed. Ray Trapani, a 26-year-old dropout who was a recovering addict with no tech experience, founded one of the hottest startups in 2017. Ray's company was endorsed by major credit card companies, celebs like DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather, and appointed a Harvard-educated CEO. It was gonna be the next big thing, until it wasn't. Because the entire company was one big lie. I'm excited to let you know that all episodes of Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, are available and 100% ad-free exclusively with the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, so you can binge the entire season. So don't wait. Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet-sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.